What is?
Blog Talk Radio.
Again, we're letting it play.
Okay.
Okay, so welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and with me tonight is the enchanting, the grounded, the integrated, the anchored Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello, everybody. Hi. How you doing? It's
How
a beautiful
you doing?
Night. How you doing from New Jersey?
Yeah, that's where actually the what was that that mafia show that was filmed in Jersey?
The Sopranos.
Like, Sopranos, right.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
You doing? Okay.
The magical New Jersey Turnpike.
Yes, and alongside the magical Long Island Expressway. That's always magical as well. So are you feeling
so
the magic there, Jay Bird?
What?
Are you feeling the magic?
Yes, I am feeling the magic, and I don't know, my voice is getting deeper. I think it's all this anchoring.
Right on.
Do you notice
right
how my voice is, I was telling you this, that yes, I am feeling the magic because phone call after phone call of some of the people that I work with or just things that should have happened that didn't happen, and they just feel perfect. And even when, you know, I was looking forward to something and then an important meeting I thought, and then that didn't happen, and I went, you know what? This is divine intervention, and I just, you know, I didn't even hold on to it to let it go. It was just, there you go. And I've been feeling that probably for, just strong for about 2 weeks. And even so much so that, you know, when I've told you, you know, the unexpected or it comes in such a way that it surprises me, and then I say,
yeah.
I wonder if I'll ever stop being surprised. But no, it's just, it's amazing, really. Because even in the smallest thing, so, you know, whether you just go to pull into a space and something perfect happens or, I've just been noticing that a lot lately, and it's happening to people around me as well.
Nice.
So I don't know. It must be all this anchoring, which is explainable and not explainable, you know. And that's where the magic, I think, comes in, because it feels right, but you try to explain it, and it's just happening. So
the present moment, you know, it's.
Yeah, and getting these concepts that getting these concepts that used to be literally just concepts, and now they just feel like knowings in your body, you know?
Yeah. Well, I had the jealousy experience, which I'm not going to use any names. Privacy, you know, needs to be handled, but
right.
From my end, a dear friend of mine called me up and told me she was pregnant. And, you know, I don't know how much you guys know, but, you know, I basically have wanted a child for 17 years and, you know, still just me. And so when my friend told me she was pregnant, I mean, I literally kind of paused because there was a significant noticing to the void of jealousy. Like, there was just not a jealous bone in my body because I didn't feel it. I mean, I looked for it. It was like, you know, I kind of went, you know, like, all right, Goldie, you know, you're going to put that mask on and, you know, you're going to say, oh, that's nice, that's nice. You're going to talk for a few minutes and go, got to go, got to go. Mm-hmm. None of that. I mean, it was just, I listened to her share with me her experience of the child, and it was interesting because, you know, her and her boyfriend are financially, you know, they're in tough times right now. You know, they both work, but, you know, they don't work for corporations. They work for themselves, and, you know, there's some struggles going on there. They're not from their virtues, just from the manifestation of their virtues.
Yeah.
And I could tell when she was sharing it with me that she was defending the idea of, you know, I know I'm not really financially well off right now, you know, but I'm not going to have an abortion. You know, I'm going to, and I like listened, and when she was done, I pumped her with a pep talk that only Goldie could do.
Yeah.
You know, going, it don't matter what anybody thinks, whether you can afford this baby or not, or whether it's okay that you have this child based on, quote unquote, your salary income right now. If this child is ready to come through, get out of its way, honor it, glow, you know, be in your glory. And I was like, listen, I would love to be a part of this process with you. You know, if your boyfriend ever can't make a doctor's appointment and I don't have work, I'll go with you, you know, to check heartbeats or whatever. And, you know, I'm just here for you. You know, I would love to be a part of this experience with you. Because in my mind, it was interesting. I was like, okay, she's going to birth a baby. I'm going to birth me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, this is, in my humble opinion, what 2012 is all about. The birthing of ourselves. And it's about whether it's coming through as the manifestation of children or projects like writing books, or you know, new radio shows, whatever we're birthing. And it's not just stuff outside of ourselves. I mean, even though clearly, obviously, everything starts from within. You know, the baby, my friend's baby, obviously, is growing within her being. But, Janine, your book grew within you. I mean, and it birthed itself, you know, just from a different gestation process. What I want the audience to remember that is right now, this is also Mother Earth birthing a new human race, a new human species. And I'm not just talking about, you know, you know, your fly-by-night kind of birth. I'm talking about, you know, new dimensional living, new experiences, new perspectives. And that's why, you know, it was just, because it was so interesting, right? So today, you know, I'm hanging out with my little buddy, Aiden, who is, what a blessing in my life. And I get it that, you know, another friend of mine, when I told her the story, you know, about my jealousy not being there, she was like, well, obviously, you know, she goes, you have Aiden in your life now, that, you know, he has something to do with it. And I was like, you know, I go, this is how I perceive it. I removed the jealousy and Aiden showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe
yeah.
Aiden removed my jealousy. And
no,
that
that's what
is
I'm talking
subtle...
about, the anchoring, because the concept,
exactly.
You know, it's a concept is not integrated into where it literally comes into your being and the paradigm shifts. That's what happens. I mean, and so, no, Aiden coming into your life was after the paradigm shifted,
And right, because remember, Aiden, first I get the job with Aiden, and then his mom loses the job she thought she was going to get. And so what did it take, another 2.5-3 months before it all worked its way back to me? So,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly.
There was a waiting period. There was a gestation period. And it was of me being needing to not have a baby in my life at that particular time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, what I'm really loving about the gifts that are showing up in my life right now is I'm not chasing them. I'm not mentally creating them. I'm not doing, you know, thousands of affirmations. I'm not, you know, I'm not praying at an altar. Please, please, please send this to me.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with what's in front of me, and what's in front of me is what's in front of me. That's what. And what I'm dealing with it is, you know, what I'm always talking about is the integration period. The place where when I don't have what I want in front of me, can I really be with that too? Can I genuinely be with that without distraction, without coercion, without justification? Can I just be in the space when I don't have what I want as easily as I can be in the space when I do? Because if you look at many people, even when they get what they want, quote unquote, you'll find the minute they get what they want, it renews itself, and they go back to the space of, well, no, it's not what they want anymore. Now the want changes again. You know, that becomes kind of
an interesting thing because, you know, the word genuine has been coming up a lot. And you said it earlier. Last week, our friend from Israel said it. Ayala, yeah. You know, how she found us. I just think that it's the unpredictable that it's almost too easy or too definable or too looking for that or gimmicky to me to think that, you know, this is what I need to fix something or like I just don't think the organic process even begins to work that way. You know, it's
Mother Nature is not a gimmick.
No, or even the fix or that's a paradigm or a thought process that just literally no longer applies when you're
dealing. What do you mean Mother Nature is not a fix? Because for me, absolutely, Mother Nature was. So I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Like for me, when somebody, like the need for the baby or something, and then you said that I didn't even feel, you know, that jealousy, and then someone tried to explain it as Aiden coming into your life, I thought to myself, well, that's way too obvious an explanation. That's not, to me, that didn't feel at all applicable or genuine or organic. It was more...
Well, it's what I call a surface call. That's a surface read.
Yeah, and I think the organic works in such mysterious ways that I can no longer explain things that's obvious. Oh, that, you know, I was feeling this and then that happened and that's obvious. I just don't think, like, something is shifting in me where that just isn't the case anymore. This is what the anchoring process is doing, where it's a whole other paradigm. You don't just all of a sudden feel better because you're in a relationship. That's not how it works. It just doesn't. It's you feel better because of you, not because, you know, you're in a relationship. Or because those things, like you feeling jealousy and no longer feeling jealousy, like if you're in a relationship, I think it's the genuineness for me is when the need or the loneliness or the aloneness or the despair is no longer what you're trying to band-aid or fix. It just,
Or avoid.
It's like, and you know, it's funny because when George talks about, and this is where the anchoring, I think, starts to really become the tipping point, that like when George Kravatsalis talks about going inward, it's almost the more you go inward, the more your outside world changes. And that's where I've noticed this sensation of the anchoring is occurring within me, where it's just changing the way I used to see things, or like the solutions. It's, I don't look at it like that. I don't know if I'm making sense, but it's just...
You're totally making sense. Well, to me, you're making sense.
Right. But it's not about...
Everybody else.
It's not about the solution. It's something far... It's like this organic process that
well,
I go...
solution says you don't... There's not acceptance of what is.
Right,
the Eckhart Tolle stuff.
Right.
Because the solution is the acceptance of what is, whether you have what you want or not.
Right.
That's a deep question to ask oneself, because
right.
it's ultimately disengaging the mind, which is the thing that will make phone calls, that will bring you to the gym to work out. And I'm not saying that these things are inherently, you know, bad things to do. Everything's about the motive of why you're doing it.
Yeah, and
you know,
I just
doing it?
I find it amazing. No, I find it more and more. It's like this process of what I'm getting to know is that you can't really judge what's in the present. All you can do is be in the present. And I know that sounds so cliche, but
yeah,
it really is.
Sounds clear though. It's really true though.
It's not about the solution to where you are in the present. It's just about being in the present. And I think, you know, I wish it's like, wow. But this anchoring thing started for me like 3 weeks ago when everything started dropping in. And
yeah,
and I feel it. And
Well, and you know, there's something about the anchoring too where... You know, I'm starting to see the changes in my field. See, there's such an interesting, you know, the words healer, heal thyself are just like, you know, kind of flashing in my eyes like neon. You know, partially because of Pane's work,
right?
And partially because of the day I'm having. You know, because. There is a very subtle difference between, and it's interesting, it's subtle, but it's not. See, when it's in your field, when you've anchored a new belief system,
mm-hmm.
different, and like, here, well, let me start this from the beginning. When last week, my beloved friend Dennis totally tripped me out. And
okay.
he told me that he was on, you know, a blog talk show. And he had heard the host basically say, don't let people trigger you.
Yeah.
You know, and the first thing I said to him, of course, after I was triggered by that statement, was, and did she propose how to do that? Because, you know, people can say all the time, you know, you can say to somebody, okay, do brain surgery. If you don't know how to do brain surgery, I don't recommend you do brain surgery. As well as, you can tell me don't be triggered by people, but I can tell you that the truth is I'm triggered by people. So telling me not to be immediately is going, okay, so don't authenticate how you're feeling.
Right.
Don't acknowledge that there's value in the trigger. Don't,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a long list of don't. And, you know, the question bears... you know, the juice of that statement is clearly why not let people trigger me. And why do I say that? Because the anchoring that I am experiencing in my field,
mm-hmm.
which is now showing up in relationships in my life, like my brother, who has not basically spoken to me in, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. Today is his 50th birthday. Shout out to Press. All right.
Yeah.
Happy 50th, bro. he's actually out with my dad right now. But he came to me last week and said, I'd like to share. Oh, and wait, what? And shout out to Alana. Happy birthday, Alana. I think she's, 20, 21, 22? I don't know. It's a birthday, though. Happy birthday, Alana.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, we love Alana. So my brother goes, I'd like to spend my 50th birthday with you, actually with you and Scott. And I'm like, I mean, as I'm picking up my jaw off my desk, I'm going, really? You know, like, okay, but really? Because me and my brother haven't spoken in 2 or 3 years, whatever it's been, not because I don't want to speak to my brother, because my brother doesn't want to speak to me.
Right.
And, you know, my brother has kind of played this card with me my entire life. And see, that's another thing that I think it was you I was talking to one day when I said, you know, if somebody plays the silent treatment with you, inevitably, it just doesn't matter they're not talking to you. You know, it loses its power because, when we were kids and he would not talk to me, I would literally just go up to him and go, I'm sorry. For whatever he was mad at me for, I would take full responsibility just so he would talk to me again because it would drive me crazy. You know, as you get older, I'm 47, my brother's 50, and, you know, I spend time at my dad's house, he spends time at my dad's house, so, you know, literally we'll be in the same house and not speak words to each other. I mean, you know, we're not throwing daggers from our thoughts, we're just completely not in existence for each other. And I'm okay with that, but I'll be quite honest with you, I was clearly aware that a shift had taken place, something in me, in order for my brother to approach me, who A, hasn't celebrated a birthday of his in easily 15, 20 years. He hates his birthday. Well, he hated his birthday. And then to say, you know, oh, yeah, you know, I'll come over and hang out with you and your husband. And I'm like, okay. You know, it's just like, wow, yeah, right on, bro. Now, those are the kind of changes.
Yeah.
See, he's in my field. Even though we haven't been speaking for the last 3 years, besides being in the same abode on weekends and stuff, he's genetically clearly in my field. He's my brother. And as I am doing the integrational work with Scott, who also, by the way, doesn't talk to me, but it's because of his autism. It's not because of, you know, him playing, you know, psychological, you know, screw me games. He has taught me how to deal with the silence because my husband has a silence in him, which is a lesson I needed to experience from a divine space. I needed to know that there's such thing as divine silence so it doesn't trigger me anymore. But I can't just say you're not going to trigger me. I have to integrate the trigger. And then the trigger doesn't trigger me anymore. And in my humble opinion, that's the way you can't push something outside of your field and go, I'm over it, I've recovered. You know, and I will say this even to the people who go to their 12-step meetings, you know, who 17 years after touching an ounce of alcohol still stand up in their meetings going, you know, my name is Goldie and I'm an alcoholic. It's like, really? 17 years of not touching a drop in alcohol and you still calling yourself an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm sensing a lack of, there's no growth involved in that. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that person should go into a bar and not drink. I'm just saying it should evolve. Life is about evolution. I mean, I've quit several addictions in my lifetime, but I can tell you that I've also tested myself, including with cocaine, and said, you know, bring it. And I'm like, no, you know what? I don't need to. My life doesn't need me to be numb anymore. So the cocaine can come under my nose, so to speak, and I don't need to take it. Not because, you know, because I'm afraid I'm going to get, you know, addicted, because the truth is I've also done coke. You know, and said, okay, all right. And then woke up the next day, felt like shit, and go, no, all right, you know what? We don't need to go there anymore. I really just don't need to do this anymore. It doesn't suffice to my experience. But, you know, the point, there's a point where, and I hear it like in when people talk. You can hear when someone has integrated a shadow side of themselves and where somebody's just pushing it out of their field going, I'm okay as long as it stays over there. But I promise you, the way the soul works, if you're pushing it out of your field, the soul is going to push it back in. This is a lifetime of integrating that which challenges us. It is not a lifetime of, in my humble opinion, the potential that can be integrated is so greatly wasted in denial and distraction. Just so, because I'm not saying that we all have problems, absolutely, but when you have your awakening, which is what's going on globally, the awakening is about strengthening yourself through your darkness, strengthening yourself, knowing the beauty of that despair, really knowing the beauty of the pain of,
yeah.
Like for me, being alone was massively painful for me. I mean, just gut-wrenching. It was one of my hardest integrations beliefs was being alone. And then I met Mother Nature, and I was like, boyfriend who? Husband what? Huh? Don't need, for the last and that's the point. It's like once I didn't care about being alone, okay, well then Scott enters my life and we go into a commitment. It's like, okay, right on.
Yeah. It's funny because I think the jealousy example is just such a great, we learn by saying, yeah, that's a perfect way of describing how something is, it's not that you're controlling the gel, it's gone. It's like, I don't feel it. And,
exactly.
And yesterday I had, like I said, similar to you with the field and the things that are happening in these moments of just, they're precious. And, I was walking through, I was coming out of a friend's house and the family's in a bit of turmoil, divorce is going on, and I was present, and this is the kitchen was very hot in this house. I could feel the turmoil. There are young children, there's this older boy, and I know how to hold my space in those kinds of situations where I'm like just a presence, and I was there for a reason, just to visit. And okay. As I was walking out, the older son was in the garage, and that just was a happen, that wasn't planned. And I walked by, and I just said something to, he didn't know anything that I knew, or what any details. And I just said, you're going to be okay, but don't be afraid of feeling the pain. Mm. And he looked at me and he goes, what? And I go, he goes, I'm really disconnected. And I said, you're sad, right? You're scared, right? You're feeling really like things aren't, things are all crazy, right? He goes, yeah. I go, that's not disconnected. You're
exactly.
Very connected. I said,
exactly.
There's nothing, that is not something wrong with you. This is part of the process of feeling something's changing, and it's okay. So don't run away from this. Be
right.
With it. And he
right.
Looked at me, and he goes, could you explain more of that? And I said, of course.
Right.
So I spent about 10 minutes, and I could feel the shift. Instead of being bewildered and lost in some land of like, where am I? Something must be terribly wrong with me because I feel so terrible. He got, it was like I gave him a compass or something, because he said, it all made sense then, that it was okay to feel sad. It was okay to feel uncomfortable because
angry,
things were changing. He was mourning,
yeah.
And I was like, and there's a little voice in your head that when you're in your deepest despair, know that you're okay, because in that place is where you're supposed to be. So, I so it was like this wonderful, I walked through the garage, you just happened to be there. I opened my
right.
mouth because I knew.
An organic meeting, yeah.
It was organic, and and I looked at him and I said, and don't lose your sense of humor. you know, and because that's obviously one of, you know, my strong points throughout my whole life. And, you know, I've been tested pretty good in the hot kitchen. And his mom texted me this morning, and she said, whatever you said to him, he came to me later and said, I feel so much better. And you know, Janine helped me. And I'm so happy she talked to me. And you know what it was? It was that I just made sense out of feeling bad. It's there's no talking, you know, it's okay. Like, you know, go there. Feel it.
Yeah.
Because you're never coming out the other side. You'll stay stuck.
You can't avoid this. Right.
No. So I gave him information that, like, for him was revelation.
That authenticated his experience instead of saying, okay, now we're going to fix you. I mean, got to love that term.
Right, or like, oh, wow, what's wrong? And it's like, well, I'm really deeply in a lot of pain. And you're like, yeah, that's exactly
right. That's okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's part of the process. And we're all going to go through it. And that's the thing, you know. See, part
of
the reason why
anchoring. Talk about anchoring.
Anchoring is the feeling it, yes.
Well, I saw him. It was as if you could see someone who had a revelation. That I saw the shift in him occur, where there was this. It just was, you could tell it was physical, and you know, and it was just a moment in my life, a moment in his life. It was 15 minutes, not even 10 minutes,
yeah.
And it's like,
no, this isn't about time, right?
No, but it's just those moments, like.
Well, no, right, and remember when we talked about. When it's in our field, then we'll be able to share it, because it's not even just your words. It's actually your field is sharing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. Go ahead. No, you.
No, it's just, it's all, I mean, I have to say that this is very new for me to have, I mean, you'll laugh and go, Janine, you know, but... This isn't new, but I'm telling you that there's a newness to something I'm feeling that I don't even know if I'm describing well. But
you're describing perfectly well,
right? But it's just I can't, you know, it's just this like when you say things to me and then you get them, or like Robert Young's video. That was, you know, there was something about his video. There were things that he said, oh, yes, about following the artistic flow. It's a natural flow, and it's not rational. It's irrational. And that's not the first, that is not the first time I've heard that. But somehow it went into me in a way that, you know, where it's like where jealousy doesn't exist anymore, where it's like where...
Right.
Something drops in and you just are changed and you can feel it. And it's, you know, I'm just experiencing that. I'm experiencing that in the last couple of weeks where it's like, wow. And I have to say that I think it's the organic timeline is really supporting it. You know.
That's truth. See, that's what I think is, that's the part that what we kind of have. Space itself, and when I say space, I'm not talking necessarily outer space. I'm talking, like, you know, the air in front of your face space.
Yeah.
There's an energy. It's charged.
Yeah.
Space is charged right now.
Or intelligent or something.
It is intelligent, absolutely. And I, in my humble opinion, it's the divine feminine. I mean... She is just breathing life into this, you know, out of balance masculine space.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is so funny because it's like if you tell people, oh, yeah, it's the divine feminine that's bringing up all the warring, all the fears, you know, they're like, no, the divine feminine wouldn't do that. It's like, oh, then you really don't know the divine feminine. You know, it's just, it's like when people say, you know, people who take pharmaceuticals to get better, you know, they pop pills and expect all their symptoms to go away, which of course they do because the pill is telling the brain to turn off and not feel the symptom. But real healing happens, you know, you got to bring the pus up from the boil. You're going to get sick before you get better in a genuine healing. Because the nature of this experience is there's no denying the darkness that's here. There's only moving through it. And in the moving through it, you can alchemize it. So, you know, is it the divine feminine that's bringing up all our shadow sides? Absolutely. And the beauty is when you know that, what you were sharing with this young man, is that so trust the divine feminine.
Yeah.
Trust the dark stuff that's coming up, that it's not here to, you know, beat the crap out of us. It's literally here to bring wholeness.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. When I think of holy, I think of anybody who's integrated their shadow, and I'm not talking 100%. None of us have done it 100% because, in my humble opinion, if you've done it 100%, you won't be here anymore. So this isn't about calculated numbers that you have to, you know, have a perfect score in order to, you know, in order to let the energy take you what I was talking about earlier in the show, which is this birthing process. But the soul is definitely, there's an understanding from the soul going, all right, we need to balance our energies. Balance. That means right in the middle. There's darkness and there's light. This isn't about kicking anybody out, and this isn't about dominating anything. In the middle.
Or staying in one or the other, you know, or giving one more power than the other.
More power than the other.
Right, or,
exactly.
You know, or biasing one over the other. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, the feminine to me is in the dark. It's the wet. It is dark. You know,
it's the womb.
And it's the mothering. It's a very strong. I mean, to me, it's strength. You know, don't be afraid to go there, kind of person. You know, So and then obviously, in the center, then you know, and I love when George talks about this, about, you know, how the balance of the earth and the sun is coming into alignment, and I completely agree with that.
I agree with that as well.
Yeah, and I do think, and you know, I say this with kind of, I mean, this is fun for me to say, but I do think, now that I'm thinking about it, that those solar flares, what I've said to you, solar consciousness, you know, I really do think that has a lot to do with some of this shift.
Oh, no,
for
that,
me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just do.
Well, it's solar,
you know?
Flares. It's everything cosmically. I mean, it's like it really is. All you have to do is, you know, follow any of these weather YouTuber. You know, people who do YouTube. You know, like Mr. Comet Watch. That's the gentleman I follow. And you can see, because first of all, it is not just planet Earth that is going through the global warming. Every planet in our solar system is warming. Mars has ice caps that are melting. The other planets are illuminating more brightly because they're heating up. This is so much bigger than us, and yet it's not that it's bigger than us in the sense of, because we're all of it. We are every planet. We are the cosmos. But it's more than just planet Earth. Much more than just planet Earth. You know, this is the whole galaxy. You know,
speaking of that, you know, how about Monday when we couldn't even do the radio show because
I know
because
right?
we felt as though I said it, but you know, you picked right up on it that I was like, I think I'm reorganizing my universe, and I was just tired. And you know, it's funny, I don't think of myself as you know, wow, I can't do the show, I'm that tired. But then I had to really look at, you know, Janine, it's really okay to see that, you know, there's a sensitivity and that your body needs some downtime. And that's not typical for me, but it was just so apparent that I needed to respect that. And, you know, once again, it's so funny not to be able to truly fully explain any of this because I can't. But I'm feeling it. It's there.
Well, you can explain the symptoms. You just can't explain where they're coming from, but which is
or
fine.
That, or the, you know, and it, you know, it's so funny because if someone were to say to me, "Quick, what is it that you want?" I go, "I want to know who I am," because you know, to me, that's the ultimate. Which I think, you know, that George is right that we each are a universe and a creator, and I think about that. Those are those kinds of things that I think about, and. And, you know, and I realized, hey, you know, that's a big process. That's an incredible engagement. That's a pretty big discovery, you know. And Monday I was like, you got to take some rest because I was tired.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because remember the week before that you knew yourself as infinite.
No, see this is the kind of right. See, this is the
well,
kind
and
of
I,
stuff.
I love it because it really does. We fall in and out. This is the process of awareness. Is
well, no. Remember what
second.
I said. Remember
yeah.
what I said about. I brought in the closer to me, almost like an invitation that I am infinite. Because I loved when George said that, and I thought that is a really. If you fully bring that in and you truly, you like that one drops in, you know, it's almost like game changer. And,
oh, totally.
You know, so when you invite that into yourself to kind of, you know, fully integrate that, which I have not, but when you start bringing that in, you're right. It's physically starting.
That's a lot to take on. Infinity is a lot to take on.
You think so? Yeah, I think
well,
so, too.
Well, I got a better word. I feel.
But,
I feel that truth.
Yeah. Right. So, no, so
thinking doesn't even begin to cover it.
So it's just so, it's so amazing to me because I am learning a lot about, you know, how this physically, you know, you bring these things in and then it's like your body is going, yeah, you're infinite. Could you go, like, lay down?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, but that was just, and I loved how we both respected our process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, today that I said to you that I don't just feel, like, I have been sleeping 12 to 14-hour days, basically, you know, well, even sometimes on the days I'm working with Aiden, you know, I'll just come home from work at like 4 o'clock and sleep till the next day. But I've been sleeping a lot, and, you know, it hit me sometime this week, if not today, time just doesn't work for me anymore, that, you know, a pregnant woman sleeps a lot, right? Because, I mean, all mm-hmm. their energy is going towards, you know, the production of this new life forming in her body. And mm-hmm. if I'm correct, the body actually responds to the woman second. The baby has all priority from an organic function. The baby mm-hmm. has priority, no longer the mother, you know, which is funny because it really is a parasitical, actually, aspect. And lose the mom, you lose the baby. But that's just not the way the body operates. The body will put all resources towards the child. So, you know, a pregnant woman would, you know, feel tired, you know, I mean, her energy's good. But I also was thinking about the infant. You know, when an infant's born, and, you know, I know from being with Aiden, they sleep a ton. I mean, mm-hmm. a ton. The first 6 months, they're sleeping way more than they're awake, way, way more. And so it hit me today, I felt like, I'm the pregnant mother, and I'm what's being born.
And the baby.
And the baby. Well, you know, and, well, the new human. You know, I mean, it was just
yeah.
like, you know, and it just hit me so profoundly that I was seeing both perspectives, and I believe that I could see both perspectives because I wasn't beating myself up for sleeping a lot. Because if you ask anybody out there right now, there's this sense of not only is there a sense of an urgency, I have a lot of friends who are creative, whether they're authors or entrepreneurs or, just basically people who work for themselves. And, you know, they'll tell you the energy right now is like, you know, it's like a train coming down the road at, you know, Mach speed going, create! it's like creation on crack. There's an energy that if you're in your mind or in your brain or in your thoughts or in your mental body, whatever you want to call it, it's like it's spinning faster than normal. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, sleep's just not coming to them. If anything, it's completely opposite. They're insomniacs at the moment. Because their thoughts aren't turning off, and their mind is, you see, if you're in the mind, it's such a different experience than when you're connected and anchored in the body.
Yeah.
With the intention of connecting to your soul. Because, you know, so many people leave their body to, whether you're connecting to galactics or angelics or, you know, any kind of spiritual being, the minute you leave your body, you just left your space of power. It's like leaving the now moment. You know, there are just certain ways to play this game. And hands down, you go into your body, into your being. Because the universe that you want to speak to you is your universe. We're all universes. We're all cosmos. We're all planets. We're not just the big stuff. We're also trees and we're animals. I mean, is it a coincidence my name is Golden Hawk? Of course not. There's an aspect of me that's the hawk, who absolutely is me speaking to me as an animal. So, but the key is, it's not about leaving our bodies to connect to these beings. It's about going through our body, anchoring inside our body, and then go through the earth, and then go through the sun, and then go through the cosmos, and then play with any angel, because ultimately it's just you. You can, if you're not ready to call yourself, you know, the creator of all things, then make it an archangel with a new name, or however you make it, the Pleiadians or the Syrians or whoever you want to make it. But the truth is, as long as you're processing first inside yourself, then inside the planet, then inside the star. And when I say this, meaning like it's a process, meaning it's moving. I go through me as the universe, and then I look for the earth inside me. And then I connect with Gaia inside me.
Yeah.
And then I connect with, from Gaia, then I look for the star, you know, our sun, and then from there, you know, you can go into the planets and the solar system, because then it doesn't matter what name you put on it. The truth is, it's you.
Yeah.
You can't miss if you do it this way, because I understand that we have self-worth issues, and I understand myself, I have self-worth issues, but they are integrating more and more and more, because the processes that I'm using are fail-safe processes. They're processes that follow the organic pathway. The organic pathway, this is how we came into our humanness. We started out as a galaxy, and then we came through the Milky Way, and then we came through the star, our sun. So we're just following our own path of self, which is what the ascension is. We're just gathering the pieces up, And becoming, to become whole is to become, you know, having all your pieces, you know, integrated into yourself. And it makes sense when you look at it from that perspective that, of course, during the ascension, because I remember in 92, when I first heard Kryon talk about the ascension, I verbally, you know, declared, I will ascend this lifetime. And I also declared that I would be as powerful as Jesus, if not more so. Yes, I dream big, people. Now, I can honestly tell you that in 92, when I made that statement, it absolutely came from a space of, I wanted wings. I wanted my life to get lighter. Where's the cotton candy, the bunny rabbits, and the butterflies? Because my life was incredibly painful. It really was, And I didn't understand it, and I assumed through the ascension it would take me away from those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, as it did for a little while, but it's funny because it was almost like I had to experience the artificial ascension, which is basically going outside of myself, praying to anything other than myself, a god, an angelic, a galactic, you know, as a victim, going, are you going to help me? Are you going to help me make my life better? Because I just, you know, I can't do it on my own. And what I have come to find out is nothing can help me be me more than me. I can have living examples of other people being themselves and how they did it. But there's nothing, no one can make the journey of collecting the pieces of me, which is really what the ascension is about. The ascension is about collecting all the pain, all the sadness, everything that we experienced in the descension, the parts of us that were just too much to feel at that point, too much to bear. We just pushed it out of our system because in the descension, we're still looking for, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, but that's not what the descension is about. The descension is coming into this experience. It's a dualistic experience. So what are we going to come into? The duality of who we are. So that means we're going, you know, we came here to roll in shit, play in shit, smell like shit, because that's why you come to this experience. How do I know that? Because that's what this experience offers. You know, this is, life is very simple when we look at it simplistically. And there's nothing wrong with that, because there's nothing wrong with shit. And this is what I'm learning as I'm starting to get, well, this is the interesting thing, as I'm gathering my pieces back, I am recognizing the equivalent it takes to have the courage, the strength, the perseverance to allow my shadows to come back into my being. I mean, I am literally opening the door going, come home, come home. I am a safe space for my shadows to come home to. Every time I integrate jealousy, every time I integrate judgment, every time I integrate lack of self-worth, what's the other one that I abandonment, the strength that I am finding in the perseverance, in the courage, in the integrity, multiplies just way beyond what the charts would say it would. Nobody, see, this is what you did for that young man, and this is what I'm hoping to do on this radio show.
Yeah,
nobody tells us the strength we obtain in ourselves when we integrate our shadow sides. And I won't say no one. I mean, obviously we're doing it, but it's a very small group, and you really got to seek out this information, because most of the people are really just like, you know, give me bliss. And in my humble opinion, bliss is another heroin. And, you know, if you look at our humanity as a whole, we are just all a bunch of addicts. You know, I mean, we are addicted to everything. Again, is that a negative thing? No, that's part of the dissension. But if your goal, if you're in your gut, it's telling you, This is the lifetime I want to graduate from this dualistic experience, and you'll know it because you'll have a feeling of, you know, it. I'm strong enough to really face who I am without the addiction. I can now handle the pain of my shadow side without numbing myself with cocaine. I mean, that's the truth. I can look at the ugly part of Goldie and the grotesque part of Goldie and the scared part of Goldie and the angry part of Goldie and the, you know, all the parts. And when I say look at it, I'm talking about there's something when you look at yourself in those shadowy colors, so to speak, you don't, you're not just seeing, you're sensing that in my cells, you know, I'm feeling abandoned, yet knowing I'm okay. It's this weird paradox that on the way up, you feel everything negative, but you know it's not your experience. And it's, you know, kind of like where you were going, I don't know if I can explain this, but that is my experience, that you have the wisdom to know you're on the way up. It's okay to feel this because the story gets dissolved. I don't have stories around being abandoned anymore. It's not because I was molested as a child that I feel abandoned. I feel abandoned because it's an aspect that wants to come home.
Right.
Okay. Then let me sit in the woods by myself, you know, as my beautiful husband, you know, does something that, you know, I feel, you know, was not serving me, and he triggers my abandonment. And then I go to the woods, I feel abandoned, and then, of course, it processes itself into the alchemy, which then, on its own, turns into courage and laughter and love. And then I go home and tell my sweet baby, you know, thank you. Thank you for triggering that, because now I'm able to integrate it because he triggered it, which is why it triggered me when my friend said, you know, don't let people trigger you. Oh, bullshit, man. Let people trigger you. Of course, if you're on the way out of this experience. If you're on the in the dissension, okay, I can't speak to them people because that's not where I am. I'm on my way out of this.
Well, I would say, anyway, by the way, that was beautiful because I really I don't know, I was following you, and all of a sudden there was, like, this moment where I felt, oh, this is good stuff, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that,
stuff.
it felt really good, and you know, the funny thing is, and I mean this truly as funny, what is triggerable in yourself, in oneself, in myself, will be triggered. So there is, like, you know, I think that's really funny that don't let yourself be triggered. It's impossible. You will be triggered. And because...
Of course,
it's,
right. Why even set yourself up for that kind of thing?
Well, that's the funny thing, because if it exists within you, it will be triggered. And that's kind
right.
of how I'm... That's the mystery of it all. It's like... That's why I think it's funny. It's like, that's impossible.
Didn't Jesus say, love your enemy? Wasn't that one of his parables, or I don't know, one of those?
It's like when someone says, "Well, don't let them make you angry." It's like, no, if anger's within you, the anger needs to come up and be triggered so that you can acknowledge that it's there. So you can't hide these things. It really is a joke.
It's an impossibility.
Right.
It's an impossibility.
It really is.
It just creates a belief system that creates more lack of self-worth.
Right.
And if you look at it, you know, holiness, the word whole is in there. If you look at, you know, we want to become all colors. We want to become all frequencies. So but we're not going to become all dimensional of emotions? I mean, we're going to become all dimensions. It's part of it.
Well, the beauty
the key
is
wrap your beliefs around it so you make it that it's an empowerment.
Well,
I remember
when I was triggered years ago, like 18 years ago, when a very wonderful, bright person said something about, you know, oh, well, you know, you might have the need to look good. And I was like, I don't like that. But you know what? It was a turnaround for me. It was like, yeah, get rid of that. You know, it was like, just take that in and say, do I really care that I have to look good? And I don't mean physically. I meant like you were talking earlier about the quote, good girl, or the smart girl, or she does everything right girl, or it's like,
right.
Oh my God, fall down and look really bad. You know, it's like, you know, and that was a turning point for me. And, you know, and that was a great trigger. It was, and guess what?
Right.
The trigger was momentary because I was like, that's why I came. I came to learn. So if I got triggered with that, it was brilliant because it was like, there it is. It was the right point that got triggered for me. I wanted that. You know, it was
and that's what if people would look at the trigger as the divinity of what it's the aspect. This is the way I see it. When I get triggered, there's an aspect of me, a fragment of me that's outside my experience going, can I come home?
Yeah.
And so what is the trigger? The trigger is the doorbell of this aspect ringing the doorbell. Now, so that's part of it. Okay, it rings the bell. Now, do you slam the door on the aspect and go, get the hell out of here? I didn't invite you here. Oh, wonderful. What a way to treat yourself. I mean, it cracks me up because go ahead.
I'm sorry. No,
I was sorry.
Just, the movie The Hunchback of Notre Dame, that always struck me because, you know, there was this hideous, monstrous, but he was so beautiful inside, and he loved the elephant man, the one for me. Right. Well, Lon Chaney played this Hunchback of Notre Dame, and he protected this woman and gave her sanctuary, which of course, you know, I mean, he helped the divine feminine. How was that? Because he was the hideousness, and then she really loved him, you know, and it's the same thing as Phantom of the Opera, all that.
Yeah, but no, see, but okay, let me, but I have to say, he loved him too. Listen, he allowed her in, and here's the truth. You can't allow these aspects in unless you love yourself. That's the funny part. If you're slamming doors on feeling, on parts of you that feel bad, it don't blame the trigger. It's lack of self-love in your own being.
No,
I think you're really
grateful for the trigger. As you said, you're grateful because you love yourself.
But
right,
you know,
and you're getting it. I mean, it's like, you know, you're dropping defenses.
I am
defenses.
Getting it. God knows.
Yeah.
It's
fun.
I'm getting
it's
it,
fun.
But God knows there's people around me that are not getting it. And
right.
I have to, it's why I do a radio show. I do a radio show because I want a space to voice my opinions and or my mm-hmm. truths. They're my truths, but they can be opinions to everybody else.
Yeah, and what I love about the radio show is it's like literally discovery alive for me. Like it's you know, I'll follow you and you're talking and it's like I'm moving through all these realms of like, you know, discovery. It's so happening in the moment, which is so much fun for me. And as I've said to you, and you've said to me, that since we've been doing the radio show together, so much has been shifting and changing. And you know, it's funny how the exchange between the two of us activates both of us, and we're just anchoring more and more, and integrating more and more. And I have to say, it's really fun.
It really is. Well, and that's the thing, you know, there's a momentum.
Yeah.
That just like, you know, because it's an interesting game, so to speak, because, see, the integration is the game ending. And it's so funny because the more I integrate, the less I'm triggered by the intensity of the chaos in the outside world. Because I really do recognize the intensity mm-hmm. is because the game's ending. But I only recognize that because I've integrated my own aspects. And again, I still have aspects to integrate. I am not by any means claiming to be, you know, completely whole. But I've integrated enough where it's a tipping point that I'm really prepared for whatever is going to come down the pike in 2012. And you know, I don't know how many people saw the hurricane or the tornado in Dallas or somewhere in Texas, live on TV. And I just want to share with you, Jay, you know, here's my twist on that. It's really kind of fun to, you know, I have all these new clarities, because that's another thing. Unbelievable clarity, people, to that age-old question of who am I, when you start taking these pieces in. Because one more thing I want to add, and then I want to talk about the tornado. When you're integrating these fractured pieces of self, you're not mm-hmm. just getting the pain, you know, of what they initially are standing there. You're getting their experience. And here's the funny part: if any of us look at our lives, it seems in this dimension, tremendous growth comes through pain when we get through it. Tremendous growth. So think about all the growth that is possible right now through integrating aspects of self who have already been through the pain. So you don't have to go through the experience. You just have to feel it. Just feel what that aspect, which is you, is coming home to feed into the, and it's not feeding it, you know, that you're a bad person because you don't deserve anything. No, it's bringing you the whole spectrum of, you know, it could be strength, it could be perseverance, it could be patience. Because, you know, the virtues are born of our pain. That is where, how do you know you're a patient person? Because you can sit in a traffic jam and it doesn't faze you. That's how you know. How did you know, though? You had to have the traffic jam in order to know. Anyway, so I am preaching like a bad girl.
It's great.
So the tornado, the tornado was seen live on, like, the stations like CNBC, CNN, the financial shows broadcasted it live.
Yeah,
I saw that for a minute. And you know the first thing that hit my mind as an intuitive hit?
What?
Shock and awe. And this is what my father is finances is his passion. I mean, he retired, but God knows he didn't retire from his, you know, stock market and trading and all that kind of stuff, whatever. He literally called me in because I was home and he goes, come here, look. He's like, it's like the movie Twister and it's live. And, you know, I just kind of sat on the bed and I watched him watch the Twister. And it's like, This is the demographic. I said, why don't I feel like this is a coincidence that they're showing this? This isn't the Weather Channel. This is CNBC. This is, you know, Money Talks and all the economics. And it just hit me that there was, see, the thing about shock and awe, if you listen to enough David Icke and, you know, all the wonderful conspiracy, you know, the ones that I listen to anyways, they'll tell you it is in shock that people are the most manipulated or manipulatable. And the fact that they showed this tornado literally picking up semi-trucks like they were toys and flipping them up 250 feet in the air, and there was something significant about that happening on the CNBC channels. It's just an intuitive hit, and the words I got was shock and awe. And remember what I told you the forest had said to me
last week?
Be on point, be prepared. See, this is the shadow side doing its preparation. Shock and awe to the economics. Nature is going, be on point, be prepared, live in the moment, you'll be fine. That's the beauty of the present moment. You don't have to plan, you don't have to know, you just have to trust explicitly that whatever you're supposed to do, whatever your calling is, whatever your passion is, you'll know it in that moment. You will know it in that moment, and you will shine a light, you know, because I truly believe those that are meant to shine, you know, we have yet to truly go through, and see, this is again the paradox. We're going to go through some very dark times in order to shine our light. Because that's kind of like the graduation test. If you're indeed ascending from this dimension and you're ready to be, you're complete with the duality of planet Earth in the third dimension. Well, then you kind of got to show up, you know, as a graduating student. You know, what do tests do? They do you know everything that you know? You say you know, and it's not just about knowing. Because, see, in the graduation of the soul, what most people don't realize is it's about the being.
Mm-hmm.
Are you what you say you are? You know, because I can't tell you how many people right now are telling me how happy they are. Happy. I have a dear friend of mine who we grew up, her parents and my parents were best friends. her and her sister are in a very dark space, and her sister's morbidly obese. There's cancers on her. In my humble opinion, she will not make it. You know, she's got a limited time to be here. And it's funny because she's following the footsteps of their mother. And I was with the other sister who, you know, is telling me that, you know, her sister is telling her she's jealous and her sister is telling her she hates her. And, you know, and I'm seeing this as vulnerability. It's like, wow, your sister's being vulnerable to you. You know, how did you respond? And she was like, good, good. I'm tired of her bullshit. I don't want to hear her complain anymore. And I was like, okay. And then I looked at her and I go, tell me how you're feeling right now. And she goes, I'm as happy as I've ever been. Oh, hold on. My family's home. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm on the radio! Okay. So I asked her to tell me. I go, how are you feeling? And she literally went on for like 10 minutes telling me she's the happiest she's ever been, her weight is okay, and her this, her that, her this, you know, her marriage. And I literally said to myself, so the person you've hung out with your entire life, I mean, these sisters are best friends. And there's, you know, there's an intertwining in their relationship that goes very deep. So your sister's dying. She's, you know, at her most vulnerable state. You know, and all you can do is tell me how you're the happiest you've ever been.
Mm.
You know, you really don't have to be a clairvoyant to get that there's bullshit in that statement. There's total denial of what is. Because I keep saying to her, when your sister's gone, can't change the rules. And I'm not saying that she can't, you know, that you can't still work with the people on the other side. You absolutely can. But you have to have the sensitivity to do that. Once she's gone, she's gone. And she keeps going, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And I'm going, okay. You know, if she says she is, I mean, I you can't force somebody to open up their heart and have, but, you know, I'm watching it and going, people think because they say the words, I'm okay, I'm happy, that it makes it so. Watch a person who's integrated. And first of all, you won't even hear them say they're happy. You'll hear them saying, you know, I'm grounded. I'm here now, okay? I'm here now. I'm ready to feel whatever's coming my way. This isn't, the game isn't about just feeling bliss and happy. If the game is to if the intent is to graduate. So, you know, when people are just babbling those words to me, I really do see right through them and go, okay, you're miserable. Okay. And you don't want to talk to me about it. Okay, I'm okay with that too. You know, I'll play with the baby because he's happy.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's all over the place. So many people are just, you know, it seems the more the intensity gets turned up in this quote-unquote preparation, shock and awe, all of it, The more people are just kind of walking around like, it's artificial. They're either you know, saying they're really happy and I don't feel it, or they're very deep in their fear, you know, where you can't touch them at all, where, you know, everything, they're afraid of the germs and this, and they're just in this spiral. See, and here's the ironic part, though. In my humble opinion, the person who's in their fear has a better chance of waking up than the person in denial. At least they're acknowledging where they are, even though it's taking them over, you know, because the place of power, I mean, I know my awakening did not come at the greatest point of my life. My awakening came when I was at the bottom of the barrel, you know, just, you know, okay, I surrender, I'm a fuck-up. I don't know how to do this. I surrender. Everything I thought I knew and everything I thought I could accomplish, I couldn't do it until I started reevaluating the questions. Who am I? Why am I making the choices I'm making? Where did these beliefs come from? And how do I get new ones for the ones that don't fit anymore? You know?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I'm seeing, like,
when you describe two different places, like, I'm great, and then the really deep, on the other side of the pendulum, it's like, you know, the pendulum goes to the, I'm great, everything's great, and then the pendulum inevitably will go back to, but, you know, what's interesting about why I think being in the pain and the sad, in that other, in the darker space, in the, when the pendulum swings the other way where the pain is and the deepness, I think why there's the growth there is because the defenses seem down. Like when you're in that pendulum swing and that everything's great, it feels to me as if the defenses are way up and it's like, okay. And then, you know, whether it's...
Yeah, which is a wall. Defenses are a wall.
You know, that's why humility and vulnerability, they're actually very beautiful to me, because it's when the changes can occur. It's like when the soil's the richest, you know. It's like, you know, it's like I always talk to people, like, you know, when they say things that they think, you know, sound bad, and I go, oh, now we're in really rich territory. You know, this is
you said that to me.
Yeah, it's like, this is, no, yeah, here we are. This is, you know, this is where change can occur, because the defenses are down, you know. And so, yeah, I think that.
Damn, girl, you're brilliant.
And it's palpable. You can feel it. You know, you could.
Yeah.
That's why it's an honor. Honestly, it's so, for me to be, it's an honor to be with someone in that place. Like, it does feel sacred to me, because it's where the changes occur. You know, when someone's in that, like, everything's great, you're like, all right, you know, see on the other side.
Well, you know, it reminds me. I had a guest come on the show once, and she was some kind of theta healer. And at the time, she was like, she asked me two or three times, "Can we do a show about amazing relationships?" You know, and I went, "No." And I said, "Well," and I went, "No, because I'm not in one, and I can't do a show that I'm not experiencing that." And what's so funny is, of course, 6 months later, I saw on Facebook, they broke up. And I was like, okay. And then I realized, see, that's why I don't do amazing relationships. Here's how I would do a show about amazing relationships. Talk about all of it.
You are making me laugh. I'm sorry.
What?
You're just making me laugh, because when you said, no, it's just like, it's so like, no, we're not doing a show.
Well, it's my show. I mean, it wasn't this show. It was another reality show. But
no, I know.
Because everything inside me went, don't do a show about, you know, perfect partners kind of thing. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, the more you start coming into your soul, people are going to come into your life. Souls come into your life not for longevity. Souls come into your life for quality. They're going to help you bring a quality out. And when that quality has been integrated, you might not want to be with that person anymore. And not from a hate point of view, simply from a completion point of view. And I know, I've experienced this. You know, it's like, I mean, me and Scott got married, but we didn't send our paperwork to the government. I will be damned, I will pay an attorney for if me and Scott, if and when we come to a completion and our journeys go separate ways.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it is. It, you know, it's kind of like with all relationships, this isn't about a time frame. This isn't about a lockdown. You know, you're with me and you better stay with me forever. You better stay with me forever. I'll kick your ass. This is about the relationship helping us find ourselves. I mean, that's the, you want to talk about the divine relationship, talk about the divine relationship with self and how your partner helps you learn who you are. That's the, now that, shit, I will talk about that for hours. Hours and hours and hours. You know, I mean.
Well, you know, it's funny because an amazing relationship could be the relationship where, you know, two people love each other, but they, you know, they wish each other well, and they go off and they, they're no longer together, but you know, they're still amazing because
yeah.
they love each other. So, I mean, you know, whatever define amazing, you know, but if it's just about because we're together and everything's perfect, I mean, that's just fantasy and also to me inflation.
I think it has its space, but listen to Eckhart Tolle. He'll go, okay, and how long will this perfectness last? And this is what he says. He goes, it'll last a few weeks, it'll last a month, it'll last longer if you don't live with each other.
That's a good one.
You know, it's like, because the truth is, the minute you start, you know, you really, if you're cohabitating and you're with each other, you're going to trigger each other. That's, because this is the soul's playground. Relationships are the soul's playground, and we have been dealt a hand of twisted, toxic virus, you know, but the sexual energy, oh my God, has been so manipulated in such the wrong way. And I'm not just talking about sex, just you know, fornication. I'm talking about the whole idea of how we, like you were talking about years ago, you got triggered about, you know, you want to look good. I can't say it was an actual date that when it happened, but there was a time in my life where I tanned, I did my nails, I got my hair done, I exercised, and I would say, let's just use, that took up about 25 to 30 hours a week. And at this point, you know, I still get my hair done every now and then, but I pretty much don't do anything. I don't wear makeup. I wear men's clothing that's oversized. And the truth is, what I recognize is that it's okay, quote unquote, for me to be invisible. I live in a town that's very wealthy. I live in a county that's very wealthy. So when you dress very plain Jane, so to speak, you're just completely, they just don't even notice you, which is, in my humble opinion, I will take transparency over over getting garnishing their attention through the work that I used to do, because I can't even imagine walking around in the heels I used to walk around in, because like that just won't be happening on Golden Hawk. but to go through that transformation, it's a game changer. It's a game changer because what I recognized is when I was getting my energy from society, you know, there was a time I wouldn't go to the mailbox without makeup on, or the tanning creams or the tanning beds. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm tanning. And I remember I was on a bowling league, and I had tanned for 7 years through the tanning beds, 5 years through the creams. When I was tanning towards the end of the tanning beds, the end of the 7 years, my hands were like the Sahara Desert, where they were cracked. I couldn't even hold a bowling ball.
Oh, my God.
My hands were so dry. I mean, you know, can you imagine Goldie taking it, you know, maybe a little deeper than that? You know, I was going on a daily basis. And they're microwaves. I mean, they're literally, you're microwaving your body in those tanning beds.
I mean,
they're so ludicrous. It's like Botox. Oh, yes, let's put poison so you don't have any emotion. But so, you know, now, you know, I'm pale, I'm chubby, I'm just, and I don't care that nobody sees me, you know, when I walk through, because, you know, and here's the truth,
what?
My field affects these people, like in the grocery store, the library, wherever it is that I go. My field, because of the work I've done and the integration I've done, is way more effective to the community, so to speak, and the world as a whole, than I ever was, you know, when I was, you know, doing my preaching work of, I want to heal the world, you know, because I've always had this notion, I want to heal the world, but I didn't always know how to get that done, because when you're doing the inner work and you're doing the integration work, it's not the words that heal and or not heal anymore. It's all the field. The field is doing the work because that's where grace is. This isn't about, you know, calling in, you know, Archangel Michael's light to go here. I don't call anything in. Nothing. I don't call anything out. I mean, I do call. If I put my hands on somebody, this Golden Hawk put my hands on you. This is my essence, and I'm going to tap into your essence. And the truth is, I am connected to my essence, so I can tap into your essence. And if I can tap into your essence, when you're with me, you can tap into your essence. And the essence really, I'm not saying that, you know, if you love makeup and all that stuff, but, you know, most women, you know, you watch, you know, I watch the shows, the housewives of all these different counties.
Yeah.
You know, and they remind me, because they're usually very wealthy and very pretty. That's predominantly the people that are in my town. And you see how much they devote to their outside body. And boy, you know, when their husbands cheat on them or they, you know, something goes awry, they are emotionally just, they're wrecks. They don't have stamina. They don't have, you know, they're in the process of getting it, of course, through their dark nights of their souls. But it's so interesting how, you know, if they go through a hard divorce, you'll see them inevitably, you know, get right back into the game and get remarried. You know, it's like, wow, you know, you could take that opportunity to be single. I mean, imagine that. imagine what strength could be endeared from that experience.
Yeah, and it's so funny.
It's just interesting.
It is, and it's unpredictable as to what, you know, what pain or what, you know, when your life doesn't work out the way you wanted it to or thought it should, and you're falling apart at the seams, which is, you know, good. It's interesting.
Good. I know.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, because whether or not, you know, I don't know this as to why, you know, it's going to be a transformational paradigm shift of letting go of an old life that no longer works for you, but that is unpredictable as to, for myself, as to why that happens, for who, when, and, you know, I only know it for my own life, but it's just so amazing.
Right.
Because, you know, it's almost when the fruit's ripe, it's ripe, and...
Well, that's right.
And who knows when that is? And who knows when that is?
Well, and what's so funny about that? Because I'm more on the organic path now than I've ever been. But I'll tell you, my awakening happened, and then I spent another 15 years, you know, in my head, doing the ascension through my head, which, you know, really makes me laugh. So, you know, I've been on this journey for 17 years, but I've only really found.
Well, that's the funny part.
Sustainable authenticness in like the last 2 years.
Yeah.
With an emphasis on the last, you know, 2 months. Like,
and I agree with that. That's what's so, you know, I'm on the phone here and I'm talking to everybody and I'm literally feeling that the sensation of getting that bringing in these integration that you're talking about is so recent that, and I've been doing the work too, is a long time, but it's so recent that it's almost like, can I explain it, you know? And that's how new it is. That's how fresh this feels to me, you know? And I know that it's been, you know, bringing in this belief system, and it's like, oh yeah, how does that? And then all of a sudden, it's over. It's just gone. It's like, yeah, that doesn't work anymore. The more, it's like letting go of structures and restrictions, and I have to say that in the last, it's almost like, well, 6 months, well, 5 months, well, just yesterday. It's like it just
exactly.
Feels so current. And and it's
well, and think about it, currency. See, this is why it's so funny, you know, everybody's kind of, you know, got their up in arms over the economics going on right now. This is the currency that has value. That current you're speaking of is the currency. This is, because the old world of materialism and ego, and it's not just ego, because I don't want to, the ego is not to be annihilated, it's not to, you know, like anything else, you just want to find the balance. The way I like to say it, the ego is still in me, it's just not, it's not the captain of my ship anymore. My soul is the captain of my ship. But the ego is still here, you know, because a lot of times the choices that I'm making, like I've said on other shows, you know, my head's screaming, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? And yet my body just keeps moving, you know, towards, like often when I go to the forest to get my nourishment, my head, you know, this voice in my head going, you know, no, stay home and lie in bed. Come on, you don't want to get up. Come on, it's too cold. You don't want to do this. You know. And I literally make the conscious effort. I was like, let the voice be there. Just don't stop moving. And I just keep, you know, putting on my hiking boots and, you know, I just keep moving towards it because I've dealt enough with my ego to know you don't have to stop talking. You're just not in charge anymore. So if it's anything like a beautiful mind, I figure inevitably they'll just, you know, the ego will just kind of hang out there quietly. I'm no longer, you know, the ego doesn't have to be killed off. It's not, I don't want to cut a piece of myself out. I just don't want it running the ship anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, like this, just hear this one, and I think you've heard me say this before, but, you know, no offense to Freud or anybody else, but those terminologies almost, they're
old paradigms, right?
They are old paradigms. They are, yeah. They're structures that I'm going, how do I really feel about that anymore? I don't know if they can describe what, you know, they almost seem like they're not applicable anymore, not only in myself, but even in my way of expression about people or process. I'm going, okay, well, they were a discovery. Like Einstein had discoveries, which, you know, other people are finding that, you know, worked then, but they're being taken further now. Those are leaving, and these unbelievable concepts are now, you know, and you know, it's a funny thing because I think the willingness, well, it's a noticing that came. I didn't go, well, I think that I'm going to decide that, you know, the ego, the subconscious, the unconscious, the conscious, I'm going to just decide they don't describe something anymore. It just seems like it's a natural process where the old structure of describing the human being and it just doesn't, it's beginning to feel like that doesn't apply anymore for me and so
yeah.
I think what, you know, here I am again, I'm up against that place where I'm going, yeah, this is so new that, but I'm sensing this new paradigm that it has another functioning level. It just doesn't function in that old structure.
That old structure.
That's why those structures, like, you know, okay, no offense, but that's why even you and I are saying, really, the chakra system? I don't know.
Right.
These are just old.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up. No, you're right. Because, see, letting go of the chakra system, which I am presently doing, and I love it because I'm dreaming about it.
But
that's the language, because the chakra system is just as antiquated.
What's
that word?
Antiquated. The structure to describe
of the conscious, subconscious,
right.
And the superconscious.
It's just a different kind. Right. So
exactly.
That would make sense that, and this isn't something I decided. I'm feeling it, and then you'll hear, you know, and you're like, just appropriate, I guess, that this is like a form of.
Well, these are all separate. What are all these ideas emphasizing? Separation.
Yeah, or just structures of another timeline or another paradigm or, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny because the past is the past, and I don't know that you know, we can describe the human being and the human being's process as we could before. I don't, you know, and why not? Well, why not is right, because isn't that what invention and discovery is? New. Like, well,
right.
You know, so it's at some point you have to be willing to let these old ideas that no longer
evolution.
Are applicable.
Evolution
right.
is happening. Yeah, yeah.
So,
and now we want evolution to come into our vocabularies. We want it to come into our belief systems. You know, because it's coming into our beings. So now we got to reflect it in the way we express our beings.
Well, you said it so well, and it really struck me. I was like, you said, well, Jay, just last week you were talking about being an infinite, and I'm going, yeah, that's one way to, like, blow away all these old structures. Just, you know.
One way to kick your own ass.
Consider you're infinite, and, you know, it's just so funny because there was something to that what you said, and, you know, this is a process. And it's not the chicken or the egg. It's the chicken and the egg. It's not
exactly.
It's not
that's
being birthed.
Truth.
It's not being birthed and giving birth. It's both. It's
both.
Right. And
yeah.
and I'll just remind you that this weekend I dreamt I was fully pregnant. You know. And,
I know.
And,
that's right.
And
that's
you know.
Right.
So you know. Yeah. And I'm just. It's like. It's just funny because then there I was Monday really tired, and it was really unexplainable as to why I was so tired. And then I'm going, well, Golden, you know, you just tell me, well, last week you were infinite, and, you know.
Well, and right, it's almost like you went to infinity, you know, and then you came back as the individual, because remember, we're both. We're not either individual
right.
or infinite. We are both. But you came back pregnant.
Right, and
as
all
the
these all these structures of describing us in these separateness ways of our aspects. You're right. I think those structures are falling apart. They're no longer applicable. And it's so interesting now that I look at last week and the infinite thing, and then Friday I went into my therapy room with this place that I go to that I rent. It's great. It's at my friend's business, and I literally took out every painting that was in there, and most
oh, wow.
of them are mine, and I put in all new paintings, and I basically, what did I do? This is really funny.
Created
now that
a
I
new
think
space.
About, I created a new space. I created a new universe for me and a person that would come in and talk about, obviously, their pain, because that's why you come to therapy mostly when you're in the wonderful place of change, and I created a whole new atmosphere in there, and I brought in, you know, the female and the male, and I brought in the child, both female and male child, and the wilderness and color, and
nice.
You know, yeah, and that was Friday, and then over the weekend I dream I'm pregnant, fully pregnant, and. I could tell now that I'm looking back, I was on a roll over the weekend. Like, it was just felt like things were clicking, clicking, clicking. And, you know, Monday it was like, okay, the universe, it's the day of rest. It's like, you created a lot. You got to rest now. And you know, and I'm so glad we did, you know. And
right now.
And another thing about respecting that is that if you and I had come on Monday night, it would have been a forcing, and it wouldn't. And that's really good modeling to myself, to you, and to someone listening, because that's not good. Don't force things, you know. And I, you know, we both knew it. It was like we don't. Yeah, let's not do the show. And it was like no.
Well, and you know what my truth is? I'm completely open. Every time we do a show, to not do a show. I mean, I really am. I am completely
yeah, I know you are.
Unattached.
No.
And I have not always been that way. I mean, God knows when I first did radio, holy
right.
moly, you know, it was all about, you're never going to get the audience. You must be on it, you know. It's just yet another restricted, limited belief that, you know, in divine timing, you can't be late. You can't miss anything.
That's right.
And it honors, you know, again, the power of the paradox is being in the center. So it's not, you know, I mean, do we enjoy doing our show? Sure. So most of the time we're here Monday nights at 8 o'clock. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we enjoy living in the moment of our truth, and Monday night at 8 o'clock our truth was, no, I'd rather be in bed napping. And so we were in bed napping. Not together, you guys.
No, but it's just so fun to look back at the last week and then the weekend and just, you know, I'm reflecting.
Well, because it was such a huge integrated week for you.
Yeah, it was. Indeed.
Well, yeah. You know, I definitely get that it's cyclical. So, you know, you've integrated and I don't, you know, and then we'll start the process again, you know, because that's clearly what I've been going through. You know, it's like, okay, I've integrated jealousy. You know, okay, I'm still open to integrating, you know, I have lack of self-worth issues. Come on, you know, because I'm almost like, you know, kind of sending out the call. I, you know, any self-unloving, you know, lack of self-worth aspects, come on home. You know, and again, it doesn't really work that way, but when you're conscious of it, when it clicks, you're more prepared when the trigger shows up to go, oh, look. You know, instead of pointing the finger at the trigger and making it the trigger's fault, which is very easy to do because our conditioning, until there's momentum on this integration, you know, there's a practice to it. And the practice is really the constant bringing it back to self. I remember making a vow, so to speak, that everything that I was going to experience was going to be my responsibility, my choice, conscious or otherwise, and I was going to own it. And, you know, I remember like 2 months after making that vow going, damn, I can't blame anyone for anything. I was literally like scratching my head going, Goldie, are you sure? You know, like nothing. You can't blame anybody for anything. And that was a huge thing to take out of my experience, where now it's not huge at all. I mean, it's my knee-jerk. It's now my new instinct. You know, if something happens between me and Scott or me and whoever, you know, my first thought is like, okay, I'm not feeling good. Get to the woods. I mean, that's my healing space. And it's get to the woods because you've got something coming up, and that's the place that's gonna, you know, allow me to process it without any, you know, without denying it. Just, you know, come on, let's go to Mother Earth. She'll help us. She'll help me integrate this. So it's hard at first, but you know, if you're looking to graduate, you know, this is at least one of the ways to do it. I don't think you can get around it. If you're not looking to graduate, then don't sweat the small stuff. Enjoy the drama.
What?
If you're not looking to graduate, then don't sweat the small stuff and enjoy the drama.
Exactly. The drama.
Drama.
It's so funny.
I actually still like drama. So, and I admit it, I do still like drama.
Yeah.
But I tend to like watching it on TV more. Sorry,
in my therapy office, I put one wall is all wilderness paintings. And it's almost it was fun to bring all
now,
those.
Are they the prints or are these the actual paintings?
No, they're the original art. Yeah.
Did you see the episode page, how I filled up the episode page?
Wasn't that beautiful? Yes, I noticed that.
I did that on purpose too. I got called to do it.
That is so.
Anybody listening to the show, that's all Janine's art that's showing up. You know, as the pictures flash on the episode. If you're listening to the show online,
isn't that funny? Because I noticed that right away. I was like, look at it's all the art. It's the paintings. And I did.
Yeah.
I noticed it. It was great.
Yeah, because I didn't know. And you know me. I don't ask. Okay, let's change it up. Just like.
No, that was fun.
You know, Magical Mystery Tour. We haven't used that intro in shucks quite a few months. And I totally got a hit. Let's change it up.
Yeah.
You know, let's
Yeah, and that's what I've been feeling too a lot, you know, changing atmospheres, you know, the music, that was great. I noticed it. And then yeah, when I called you right before the show, you were on a roll and you're like, "And I'm changing the song." And then no, it's like, "Okay."
You know, you guys have no idea what poor Janine. No, there's nothing poor about Janine. What my beloved Janine goes through dealing with my energy.
No, I love
you. Well, bless you. Because see, we have not done a show. You know, we normally do our shows on Monday night, so it's already Wednesday, and I didn't do a show last week. Another reality show. I didn't do one of those shows, and it was just a matter of I had so much I wanted to share from like the last 9 days. And I kind of just dump it into Janine's lap from an energetic point of view within 10 minutes right before the show.
It was like I was hearing the voice go, 4 minutes till show. And you're going, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, okay, well, I'm good, I'm with you, go. You know, it was so funny. It was so funny. But it's really what I love best. I do. I love that. I love on the fly. It's like,
I know you're a surfer, man. You know,
yeah, I am a surfer.
This is what life is about. It is about you catch the, you know, look at any surfer and they'll go, you don't know when that great wave is going to come, but you got, you know, be prepared, be
right.
on point.
Right.
Because when it comes, get up on your board and surf and
have fun.
And you'll find, life will take on a whole new experience when you're willing to. When you're willing to play life with, to play, just in general.
No, that's fun for me. It's a fun challenge, but you know that, and I think that's where a lot of this growth has come from for me is that, you know, you put yourself in the hot cauldron and you just go for it, and I love that. I do.
Tina, call in. Tina wrote in the chat room. She wanted to know if there were readings. And she said, I'm looking for someone that is, I'm really hurting tonight.
Oh, okay.
So call in, Tina. I mean, we won't do readings, but we'll give you some soulful advice. Get a little mix and mingle.
Now, readings meaning like your animal cards?
No, her grandson got hit by a car.
Oh, dear. That's pretty
rough. Tina, feel free to call in if you want to share and, you know. You're not in the chat room anymore, are you, Jay? Okay.
No, I was walking around.
Oh, that's fine. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because it was like, why am I reading this here? You were in the chat room, but you're not in the chat room anymore.
No, I walked away from the computer because sometimes when I'm listening to you, it's just, you know, I just want to listen and follow you, and so I leave the computer, and I just follow you in the present, and it feels really
Janine,
good.
Janine, if any of that sounded like a complaint, there was nothing complaining about you.
Oh, no, none of it sounded like a complaint.
Yeah, you know, because that's an interesting thing, too, because in the last 9 days, I have a friend of mine who does a radio show, her and her boyfriend, and, you know, I listened to one of their shows, and one of her shows was the boyfriend just wasn't in the mood to chat that day and kind of left my friend, you know, kind of hanging out on a limb.
Yeah.
Because it was no banter. And I literally, I called her after the show and we were talking and I was like, wow, you know, thank God Janine has never done that to me. Because, I mean, she not only listens to me, she listens with like the attuning ear of, you know, a gazelle. 360, you're on the air. Is this Tina?
Yes, it is.
Hey, love. How you doing?
Pretty
Hi.
Good. I'm, there's just so many different things going on all at one time, and it's so overwhelming.
Oh, okay.
First of all, my grandson got hit by a car, and my son has a girlfriend that hasn't been responsible with her own children, and she was going across the street with my grandson to go get pizza along with her friends, and she's under drugs, and I guess my son's better judgment allowed him to go along with. Well, he's only 6 years old, and he got hit by a car and was thrown 10 feet. And
what kind of condition is he in, the grandson?
He's physically, they're questioning his pelvis and his hips. He can't walk. And he's got a large gash to the crown of his head. And when the girlfriend walked by, he was so terrified, he grabbed a hold of the police officer's arm and says, "Don't let me go with her." And he won't see.
Is your grandson, was he conscious after all of this?
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that saved him was he was thrown 10 feet. He was hit at going 35 miles an hour. And he has this crazy little habit. He always thinks he's G.I. Joe. And he will put his hands and arms in front of his head. If something gets too close to his head, he always puts his arms and hands in front of his head to protect his head. And he goes, "I'm G.O. Joe, you can't hurt me," right? Well, when he seen the car, that's what he had done.
Oh.
And that's, the police said that that's what saved his life.
Right on.
Wow.
Well, that tells me immediately that his soul, I don't know if you've ever had any kind of, like I've been bit by a dog in my face. In these moments of big trauma to your body, the soul drops in. The soul is in charge of those moments completely. I can't tell you what the outcome is going to be, but I can tell you his soul is with him. You know, his soul was there. And you'd be amazed what souls can do in the I'm having a call come in. I have no idea who it is. I don't care. You would be amazed. Souls can bend and break the laws of physics.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would definitely, you know, find your soul. Find a space where you can just breathe in that. You can ground yourself in the accepting of this moment and then connect with his soul, because that's where the miracles happen. And I can tell you, thousands of doctors have told thousands of patients that they won't walk, they can't do this, they can't, and it's all bullshit. You know,
yeah.
Doctors mean well, but doctors really don't really understand the nature of the soul. And kids are, I was told just yesterday by a teacher, for many years we've basically been working with two strands of DNA and like three codices, which are this code of the DNA. He said that the kids that are coming onto the planet now have 23 strands of DNA, 23 codes in their DNA activated, which literally means they are magical beings. And magical beings, to the average person, will do things that you go, "Whoa, that's just crazy, man, that's just crazy." But to a magical being, it's not crazy. It's not crazy. It's soulful. It's soulful.
Well, I know that
he's
being abused. His parents have terribly neglected him. They've already had two children taken away. And I really don't understand why the law isn't stepping forward and taking these children away, because the girlfriend is under drugs, and it's been proven she's been through rehab twice. She's currently using heroin. His own mother ended up, she uses marijuana on a daily basis in front of the kids. And the kids have no rules. They have become so lawless within the home that this same boy, he ended up hitting his younger brother, in the head and cut underneath his eye with a plate.
Mm-hmm.
he has rebelled through school. They've had nothing but problems with him from every school that he's ever gone to. And I'm really deeply concerned. And then I got my own trauma going on because my finances went from $190 a month because I'm disabled to zero a month. They took everything away, and everything that I am trying to do to end up raising any kind of money, it has all failed. eBay changed their policies once again. I can't even sell on eBay for the life of me. I cannot. They won't allow
Tina,
me.
Okay, Tina, let me stop you. Okay, take a breath. Take a nice deep breath. Nice, really, you know, a deep breath because your body needs oxygen. Because as much as it's going to be hard, and it is hard, I'm not negating that it's hard right now. The soul is at work right now, and you want to connect with your soul, because your soul is going to, it might not explain to you why it's happening, but the soul is going to give you the strength to move through it. It is happening. It is happening, and it's terrible that it's happening, but what can you do to give yourself the strength to move through this? No, don't be sorry for crying, love. You don't have to be sorry for anything. It's clearly traumatic and dramatic, and it's just a matter of the courage that you're showing, to be honest. Just calling in, first of all, is courageous, truly courageous. And I'm going to let Janine speak after this. But this is what has gotten me through. I was a cocaine addict for 12 years. I was molested as a kid. The only thing that ever worked for me that helped me to understand those experiences and not have hatred towards anybody, because I truly don't, was connecting with my soul.
My soul is hurting so bad, though.
No, your body and your emotions are hurting. Your soul is not. Souls don't hurt.
Yes.
Souls put us into hot kitchens. Souls are what create the pressure that changes coals into diamonds. These are the pressure that, and this is a global experience. We are all feeling the pressure of our soul's desires because they're trumping our the personality desires. We all have the desire for money. I was out of work for 11 months. I mean, out of work for 11 months. I totally understand. You know, there's a restructuring going on. The soul is restructuring. And you go deep. If you can go deep within yourself, don't focus on necessarily what's going on outside in the world. Go within Tina, directly into your gut, which is where the pain is coming from, in your heart. Go within and find the light of Tina, because that's your soul. And I promise you that your soul is going to, it doesn't take the pain away. It embraces you in the pain. It embraces you. It's the ultimate love that helps us give us the strength to get through these times. Janine,
Tina, hi, this is Janine.
Hi.
I was just curious, do you normally listen to us?
No, I don't know what brought me here.
What?
She doesn't know what brought her here.
That is actually something special in itself, because I really respect you for reaching out and finding Goldie and I as we're talking tonight, and we're not normally on Wednesday night, and you know you must be at home and you were on the internet and you found us on our show.
Yeah.
So that in itself is, like, for me, when I notice in the hardest time, and you're in a really hard time, I hear that, and the sadness of your grandson, and then the challenge that you are having right now in your life yourself, but somehow there's something beautiful, amazing, and that you somehow found us and called in and expressing this very, you know, this deep sadness and pain. And to me, I was just saying to Goldie how when I do therapy with people, it's truly an honor to be in a space with someone when they're in this place. And I just want you to know that I find it amazing and magical that you found us just to even call us and talk to us and tell us. And that in itself, if you could just hold on to how that is not a little thing. That is an amazing thing. That's a big thing. And that is something that can lead to another, like some other occurrence where you might see that, oh my God, in all this tragedy and all this difficultness, there's something amazing going on. Because you called us, you reached out to us, and that doesn't happen a lot. I mean, here we are on a Wednesday night, and you found us. And so, you know, this is in all the difficult things that you're feeling right now, that is a good piece of news that you called us. So give yourself credit for that, number one, but also know that we're deeply touched that you did that. But I also see there's a divineness to that. And right. And that's where you want to hold on to. That is the strength that you know, that if you can see that, because there's a lot of pain going around for you right now. And, you know, you could feel, well, where's the good? And the good is that in this very moment that you found two people that actually this is, you know, we were here. You called us.
And, we were here discussing this. I mean,
we were discussing pain and sadness,
yeah.
So by no means am I completely hear what you're saying, and you're nervous and you're worried, and you're feeling your grandson, and I'm feeling it for you and with you, and then your own challenges right now, and you're scared, and I get that, and somehow I was saying to a friend today that I'm finding that a lot of people are becoming, you know, in a moment they're reaching out to me and going, I'm feeling frantic, I'm feeling overwhelmed. And it's the first thing I want to say is, okay, but somehow, you know, that isn't serving you. The franticness and the overwhelm isn't doing anything for you. So when Goldie said breathe, that's a way to get out of the frantic. But, you know, I fully hear you, and your grandson, to me, or, you know, sounds like something happened in the accident where he knew enough to put up his arms like G.I. Joe. And,
exactly.
You know.
It was like he was training for it,
know,
and didn't
and,
even
and,
know it.
And I am sorry for it's hard to find your ground when around you, there's a lot of forces that aren't helping that, like, you know, the woman you were describing on drugs. I mean, that's a very difficult thing because, you know, it's not easy to find a centered place when you're surrounded by all this chaos. So somewhere along the line, you know, this is what I'm trying to point out to you. By just calling us was a really, really good thing, and a really, like, a hopeful thing.
And a positive thing, because, listen, Tina, you are talking to people who have lived through their own tragedies and
yeah.
have made it through to the other side. There is nothing more hopeful than someone who can actually say, I've lived through tragedy. Because
yeah.
there is another side to this tragedy. This reorganization of your entire existence and life and emotions and everything, there's a point to it, and it's not, you're not a victim of this. You're a co-creator in this.
But I want you to see that the calling us was a real, it was the unvictim part of you. You took this, that was a really beautiful act on your part for you.
Very courageous. Very
yeah,
courageous.
And very not victim. It's the
right.
You know, so this is the part of you that's going to help you. Just calling us, I mean, it seems so small, but it's not.
Because the energy we have around our show is really intentionally meant to talk to souls.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily, you know, we don't care about personalities. We care about soul speak. Truly. And
that's great.
I can tell you already, you must be connected. It's like what Jeanine's saying. You must be connected to your soul. You called. You found us. So it's not even about get connected. Just become aware that you already are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big step.
Because
I really, the minute you were talking to me, I'm like, how did this woman find us? And that in itself is amazing. You know, that's no accident. That's divine. And
listening to my heart, it's like there are so many people that are online right now. Like if you click on for online, that there's so many. There's like 6 pages, and I just felt it in my heart that I needed to be here.
Right on. Listen, when we hang up the phone, I highly recommend you listen to what we were talking about prior to you calling.
Okay.
It almost seems like a premonition, like we were speaking to you.
Yeah.
And how would I do that?
The show won't archive until we hang up and end it. And I'm not saying we don't have to hang up right now. But when we end it, it'll archive within 5 minutes of us hanging up. Go to the page and you hit the play button and you'll hear it from the beginning. And I'm telling you, it's like we're in a time loop, and it's divine. It's literally divine because it's the strength, it's the courage, and the perseverance that we spoke about that you're living. You're going to bring that through you. You're going to show everyone in your circle of beings that work with you and play with you and grow with you how to work through life through the virtues. Meaning how to be strong, how to persevere, how to stay on point life is collapsing. You are strong.
You called us.
Tina, nobody connects with us who's weak. I promise you that when you listen to the show, you will know that you've got two strong sons of bitches when it comes to me and Jeanine.
and real allies.
We're
really good allies for you. It's so unpredictable how life is, and the fact that you called us while we're talking about, you know, when life is hard, when this is the place where magic can occur, and I know you feel like a victim, but the victim didn't call into the radio, the brilliant heart person who's strong and really can change your life. That's you who called. And
Jeanine, that's what you want to hold on to. Trust Jeanine.
That's
she
what you want to hold
brilliant.
On to.
Brilliant. You are good, Jeanine. That was awesome.
You know, and so, you know, whenever you start to feel like you're collapsing, go, I am the woman who called that show and talked to those two women. Because I'm telling you, it was perfect timing. And you have a lot more going for you than you think. Because it's you that's going for you.
Absolutely.
And this is a moment where your life can change. And I know terrible things happen, but it's like, okay, look.
It's just a moment, though. It's just a moment.
Right.
The chapter isn't over. The chapter is actually just begun. And the chapter of you shifting everything. I mean, how do we know? Because everything is shifting.
And with all my heart, you're the magic maker. You know,
Jeanine,
I mean,
we should get her a book. We should get her a book, The Magic Hour.
Of course. I don't know if she's in the mood for reading, but I have a delightful book that I don't know if you can read, and then if you're around your grandson, you can start reading him a story. I don't know your contact with him.
Oh, yeah,
it's
a kid's book. It's awesome.
I don't even know
Tina.
If you're around him, but, you know, I'd be happy to send you a book if you want to email me.
Okay.
Yeah?
Jeanine, what's your email address, and I'll give it jlkimmel.com?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's my name, Jeanine, Jaanine.
And I'm going to type it. I'm going to do it in the chat room.
Yeah, that's fine. Jeanine Kimmel.
Okay.
It's Jeanine Kimmel, no L.
Okay.
And notes at gmail.com.
Oh, I see. Okay. At what? Gmail?
At gmail.com. And Tina can email me a mailing address. That's all I need.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'll send you one of my, it's a beautiful book. It's all about.
And it's a story of courage, and it's a story of overcoming obstacles. It's incredibly timely. Listen, the universe is, your soul is setting all of this up, and I promise you there will come a day sooner than you think when you're going to call back in the show and tell us about the grand, grand awareness and awakenings and power. And I say that with consciousness. I know I'm choosing my words intentionally. You will call us and tell us about the power that runs through your being.
Yeah, and you know, we'll be here next week if you want to call us.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be here next Monday, right? Like, I mean,
yeah, we normally do shows on Monday. This week we didn't have the energy on Monday, so we did it on today.
And just email me a mailing address and I'll send you a book signed to you.
Okay.
All right.
What's your grandson's name? What's your grandson's name?
Wyatt.
With a Y, the W-Y-A-T-T?
No, it's like this.
Well, you can email it to me, but yeah, tell us his name.
Wyatt. Yeah, because then you can sign the book to him too. Yeah, you can write
okay.
it to both of them.
Do you see him?
Sorry.
Are you near? Are you physically in the same area
well,
as him?
I'm about a 45-minute drive away from him,
but
his
yeah.
mom. Is so distraught over all what's happened, she won't allow anybody to see him. Only
okay.
because his mom and my son was married, and they're in a divorce, and he was having visitation with his children during the time that
yeah.
Wyatt got hit.
Yeah.
And
oh, I see.
Right now I'm not even talking to my own son, because I asked him, I said, what the hell are you not thinking? She's a girlfriend under drugs. You had no business bringing my grandson into her world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is my own son that ended up stealing from me not once but four times for drugs for her. He took off with stuff from the storage, $10,000 worth of 10 years of accumulation of my artwork. My own book got stolen. I'm diabetic, and I went through health education classes to teach other people about how to properly eat and how to get a control on obesity, and here he stole everything from me. So I'm re-scratching all
over. He
didn't
steal everything, Tina. Tina, you have your soul.
Yep.
He might have taken material things, but he
yep.
didn't steal everything. So don't use those words aren't true. They couldn't be true. No one can take your soul. No one can take your power. Power can be given away. It cannot be stolen away.
True.
And the whole focus right now, everything in your life is dangling this like this fish hook in front of you going, you know, if you focus on the outside world, it's very chaotic. But I promise you, if you focus on the inside world, clarity will be your friend. You will find clarity. And clarity won't be necessarily wrapped in the package you think it's going to be wrapped in. Clarity isn't about revenge. Clarity isn't about, you know, making sure everybody pays for what they did. Clarity is the language of the soul. It's often the compassion, the understanding, the genuine unconditional love, because what do you think is lacking in everybody's lives here? The drug addicts, the little kids. It's all love that's lacking. Someone's got to have the strength to bring the love back into the circle. Unconditional love, though. Not conditional love. Unconditional love. And I'm telling you, Tina, what Janine was talking about earlier, there is not a coincidence that you called here. Because me and Janine just don't talk this talk. We walk it. And
yeah.
anyone attracted to our show has the capacity to walk it as well, or you wouldn't have called.
Mm.
So I tell you, sister, it is time to be a love warrior.
Mm.
First, love yourself, though. So go within yourself, because ultimately the one that needs to experience what you're going through is you experiencing this. Feel it inside from your perspective. What is Tina feeling? Not what is she feeling based on what they did to her. Just sit with your feelings. sit with them.
Okay.
There's answers and there's clarity in them.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right, love. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
All right. And send me your mailing address.
Okay.
All right.
And stay in touch, Tina. Stay in touch.
I will.
Are you on Facebook? Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Under this name.
Oh, Tina Middleton X Davidson?
Yeah. I don't know why they put an X there, but it's supposed to be a dash.
Oh,
okay.
No worries, sweetheart. No, I'll find you if I don't. Golden Hawk. One of us look for each other. Let's just connect. Let's connect, because that's what this is about. That the
All
connections right.
right
now. You are not alone, and you have strong sisters with you. Strong, strong sisters.
Thank All you right? so much.
My pleasure.
Okay, Tina, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
All right.
All right.
All right, take
Bye
care.
Bye for now.
Take care.
Right on.
Okay,
take
too.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Bye now. Okay, so,
right.
Jay, you want to give out your
Sure.
Information?
My website. My website is jlkimmel.com, KIMMEL.com, and, of course, springtreepress.com, which is... my other website. So yes, and thank you to Tina for calling, and
well, thank you
Goldie.
For everyone that shared their energy. God bless Jenny. I now know why I spoke so passionately at the beginning of the show, because it is time to speak this message passionately. That's the truth. It is time to speak this message passionately.
Yeah.
AnotherRealityShow.com. You can normally catch our show, Mystical Mother Earth, Living Inspired by Nature, on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. But, you know, check Facebook. We're popping up shows all over the place. we're running spontaneously. So, I love you, Janine. You're brilliant. You're fantastic, and I am truly blessed to have you in my life. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you, and thanks to the listeners. And we'll be back.
Right on. We'll
okay,
be back.
Good night.
All right.
Good
stay
night.
Tuned.
Good night.
Good night, love. Good night.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.